stand together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do pray that you'll meet with us tonight around thy word as we hear the ministry and song, as we, Lord, hear the message of the gospel. We pray that thou wilt speak tonight to every waiting heart, every listener, everyone viewing this service. We pray that thou wilt speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Make the people hear. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We do welcome you tonight to our service, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening. If you're listening in, we welcome you as well to our service tonight. Do remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings. Today is building fund, so all loose collections and building fund envelopes go toward the building fund. We do hope to have the annual report available soon from last year. Everything's delayed with all that's been going on, but very good report, and that will be available soon for you to all look at and rejoice in what the Lord has done for us financially during the past year. And then Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and Bible study. We're beginning to look at the book of the Revelation, particularly the Lamb, the theme of the Lamb in the book of the Revelation. So do come and study God's word with us and meet with us at the throne of grace in prayer on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And then Friday, the church cleanup, and we're asking for volunteers, those who are able-bodied and available, to come along anytime from 6:30. We do have the fence to paint outside and various items outside, all inside work as well to do on this Friday night. So if you can come along, your presence would be greatly appreciated. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school, 11:30. Doors open from 11 for the morning worship at 11:30. The morning worship, 11:30. Sunday school at 10. Morning worship, 11:30. Prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs, 6:20 to 6:45. And I'll be here, God willing, to bring the Word of God at both services next Lord's Day. Could I mention the book, Grace and Tragedy, Grief and Grace, I should say, to get it correctly, Story of Grief and Grace, story of a young man who was killed right at the start of the pandemic, really, road accident, motorbike accident, young man who was taken, and a little baby just left, I think 3 weeks old. So do remember that story is available in this book. Boy Matthew, and it's written by his parents, Phyllis and Hertford Arnold. So remember that, please. It's $6.95, and there's a list there. You can put your name down or see your brother Mervyn Steenson about that tonight or as soon as you can. There's a limited number, so get there quickly for that. Lord's Day morning, the 20th of June, we're having a Children's Day service. Not be the same as other years, as you appreciate, but we're doing our best with this, we trust that you will support it by your presence, encourage the children from the Sunday school as they participate. And our brother Kyle Boyd, of course, whose grandfather was an elder here in our church, late Willie Boyd. Kyle will be along. You know Kyle well, most of you anyway. He'll be along to share with us for the boys and girls on that occasion. So remember that special service on the 20th of June. Do pray also for our drive-in Sunday evening services, the church car park. They start on the 27th of June. The end of July, we're having various speakers and singers coming along to those services to minister God's word and to sing the gospel as well. So do please remember that. If you can get along, that would be appreciated. And then could you please remember Amanda and David and Kwanji as they go to get their little daughter and Kwanji's sister, of course. And do pray for the weeks ahead that everything will go well. I know the family would appreciate your prayers that in the weeks to come this will all fit together and that they'll be kept safe and that the hand of the Lord will be upon them. We look forward to seeing this new addition to the family. And, of course, in our congregation here in Ballygowan. Do remember, especially this family, in the days that are to come. Now, we're going to join in the singing of a hymn. It's on the screen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Saviour, I met. What a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I'm telling. Made all the darkness depart. We'll keep our seats as we sing, and then we will stand, if you're able to stand, for the prayer, please. Gracious God and loving Father, we come now to this service. We thank Thee for gathering us together. We thank Thee for enabling many to come tonight to hear the Word. And we pray for others who cannot come for a variety of reasons, that Thou wilt meet their need tonight, and that Thou wilt comfort the hearts of those that need that comfort. And bless those who listen in to Thy Word tonight as well. We pray that they may hear the voice of God, speaking to them and saying to them, this is the way, walk ye in it. We pray that Thou wilt work effectually and powerfully in this meeting through the ministry and song of Thy servant in a moment. And Lord, as we come later to bring Thy Word, we pray that, O God, the Word tonight will reach the hearts of men and women. And we pray that there'll be those in this service tonight and through the ministry of thy truth, brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. Remember the backsliders. Lord, wherever they are tonight, we pray that thou wouldst draw them back, that they may be restored to the joy of thy salvation. We pray for the working of thy Spirit here tonight. We pray that thou wilt come with thy blessing. Descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now. We pray, Father, to not only remember here in Ballygowan, but everywhere the gospel is preached, throughout our churches, and everywhere the true word is proclaimed tonight, in sincerity and in truth. We pray that souls will come to Christ, and thy people will be built up. Remember our Father at this time, those who need our prayers in the midst of sickness, those in the midst of sorrow. We pray for comfort in these situations. We pray for healing and restoration. We thank you for those even able to be out with us again who had formerly been ill and unable to attend. We pray that thou wilt continue to work with others, that those yet confined because of sickness will soon be amongst us. Thank you for all you've done through the vaccination program and for many who feel more comfortable now to come out to the house of God. We pray that this will increase even more rapidly in days to come. Thy blessing will be upon every aspect of thy work, not only here but abroad. Remember our missionaries. Remember our Bible college, the training of young men and women for service for thee, that thou wilt undertake for all of these aspects and avenues of thy work. Hear us now, we pray, for our land, for our nation, for the nations of the world. Intervene. Lord, thou art in control. We cry to thee for help. In Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Our sister Natasha will come and minister her first piece to us. Thank you.
In holy pages, this truth can be found, a promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Right never loses, and wrong never wins, and grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Jesus is waiting, new hope is in him. Grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been,
Natasha. What a wonderful truth that is. God's grace is greater than sin. And where sin abounds, grace can much more abide. We're reading together two passages of Scripture tonight. First of all, some verses from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And then, if you turn over just and put your finger in the book of Romans, chapter 5, we're going to read some verses from Romans chapter 5 in a moment or two. First of all, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. I'm reading together from this portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Then Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For remember, yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. We're turning to hymn number 321, and it's on the screen. "I came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad. He took my sins away, he took my sins away. His wondrous love has made my heart so glad. He took my sins away." And after we hear this hymn and we keep seated, Natasha will minister in song once again.
sovereign grace selected me to have in heaven a place. 'Twas the good pleasure of his will I'm justified by grace. In due time Christ on Calvary died, there flowed that crimson flood, which makes the foulest white as snow, I'm justified by blood. God raised him up, this is the pledge, should evil doubt him more. His resurrection quells each fear, I'm justified by power. The Holy Spirit guided me to what the Scripture saith. I grasp the truth, Christ died for me, I'm justified by faith. Now if you doubt that I am Christ, if one suspicion lurks, I'll show by deed that I am his, I'm justified by works. I praise the Lord, 'tis all of him, the grace, the faith, the blood. The resurrection for the works, I'm justified by God. I'm justified by God.
Thank you very much, Natasha. We will stand for prayer, please, if you can. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue on the theme tonight in our gospel evening services on great words of the gospel. And tonight we come to the word justification. Justification. And this word and this truth and this doctrine lies at the very heart of the gospel. It is central. It is crucial in relation to the matter of salvation. Let's go back more than 4,000 years. And we see a man sitting on an ash heap. His name is Job. And Job finds himself in the midst of great distress, having suffered great loss, not only materially, but also of his family. Now he's enduring great physical affliction. And he doesn't quite understand what is going on. Even his wife is exhorting him to curse God and die. His friends have misunderstood him. And his so-called comforters give no comfort to him. Why is he going through such distress? Why is he going through such darkness and such difficulty? In the book of Job, you'll find there are more than 300 questions. And one of these is the most vital of all questions. It's found in Job chapter 9, verse 2. It was asked by the patriarch Job, "How should man be just with God?"
How should man be just with God or before God? Now we come to over 500 years ago. We have a monk wrestling with the matter of how he could find peace and acceptance with the Lord. In the midst of the darkness that enshrouded him and the pain that filled his soul, the shaft of light came from heaven into his darkened heart. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. And this was the moment of great transformation that took place in the life of Martin Luther. It marked the beginning of the Reformation. Now we come to May the 24th, 1738. An Anglican missionary who wasn't sure of his own salvation, he wrote these words in his journal, and I quote, "In the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And thus did John Wesley receive that night the assurance of salvation through faith in Christ. How should man be just with God?" That's the question tonight. It is one of the great words of the gospel, this truth, justification. The key verse is Romans 5:1. We have read it earlier. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The question asked by Job those thousands of years ago is still being asked today. And the glorious message of the gospel is that God has provided a perfect and an entirely satisfactory way of justifying the ungodly. Men, women, young people tonight, you can be just with God or before God. You can be justified in the sight of God. You can tonight know at this very moment God's so great salvation. In Romans 3:26, "To declare, I say," said Paul at this time, "his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Romans 4:5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so let us come to our subject tonight. Justification. This great word of the gospel. Three simple things that I want to draw your attention to in relation to this doctrine of justification. This great word of the gospel. First of all, the meaning of justification. And secondly, the means of justification. And thirdly, the miracle of justification. So I trust it's easily remembered tonight what I'm going to say to you. Let's put a little bit of meat on the bones then in the closing part of our meeting. The meaning of justification. Question 33 of the Shorter Catechism. ask the question, what is justification? And the answer is very succinct. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. As we think about that definition, which is based, of course, upon Scripture, we notice that it is an act. It is not a work. It's different from sanctification, which is a work. But justification is an act. And it means the pardoning of all of our sins and the causing of us to be seen as righteous in God's sight, having the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Notice, through believing, verse 38 here, we receive forgiveness of sins. We, verse 39, are justified. You see, my friends, justification is more than forgiveness. It is to be cleared of all blame. It is to be free from every charge. In an earthly court, a judge cannot both forgive a man and justify him at the same time. For if he forgives him, then the man must be guilty, and therefore he cannot be justified. On the other hand, if he justifies him, he does not need forgiveness. But God, however wonderfully, both forgives the sin and justifies the sinner. That is to forgive the guilty and condemned sinner and place them in a new position where there is no charge against them at all. We could read the words of Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The words of the hymn come to mind. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head. And clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Matthew Henry said this: the stream of grace and righteousness is deeper and broader than the stream of guilt. Thomas Watson said, God does not justify us because we are worthy, but justifying makes us worthy. And thank God, through the work of justification, the act of justification, we are made the children of God. Without condemnation, no charge against us. We are righteous in God's sight. Let me ask you tonight, have you been justified? Are you saved tonight? That is the great question for you in this meeting tonight. The meaning of justification. But then I want to come secondly to the means of justification. The Word of God makes it clear that no one is justified by his own effort or works. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul said, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again in Galatians 2 and verse 16, the apostle says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See the emphasis here. Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And yet again in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And this was the fatal error made by the Pharisee in our Lord's parable that we have read tonight in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And verses 11 and 12, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And this man was engaged in all of these works. Yet, he could not by this means obtain the favor of God. He could not by these means be justified in the sight of God. No works of ours tonight, no good resolutions or reformation can justify us or contribute one little bit to our justification or to our salvation. It is as though a murderer, feeling sorry for his crime, would do all the good deeds possible and would imagine that by this doing he could be justified in the eyes of the law and be saved from his punishment. All the good deeds that he would do in this world could not justify him. And likewise tonight, all the good deeds of the sinner can do nothing, absolutely nothing toward his justification. How should man be just with God? My friends, in the New Testament, justification is presented to us in seven different aspects. First of all, we are justified by God. He is the author of justification. We find this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. You need not turn to all the verses, but I refer to them to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Again, Romans 4 and 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 8:33, it is God that justifies. And my friend, clearly throughout Scripture, it indicates to us that God is the giver of justification. By him, and by him alone, we are justified. The second thing is we are justified by grace. We've been hearing about grace tonight in the messages and song. And justification too. And being justified by grace, we think about this and we think about the principle of justification. You see, we are justified without any merit on our part. We have no merits of our own. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 7 that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And again, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that word freely denotes that there is nothing in us to deserve it. No means whereby we can earn it. You think of the word grace and the term grace. It is the free, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. We are undeserving tonight. And yet God is pleased to bestow upon us his grace. We are justified by grace, the principle of justification. We are justified by blood, the ground of justification. A holy God must have a righteous basis upon which to justify ungodly sinners such as you and I. And this is found in the blood of the cross. Oh, we thank God for the blood tonight. We thank God for the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ, for that sacrifice on yonder cross where the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Man, a condemned sinner, can only atone for sin by paying the death penalty. For the wages of sin is death. All have sinned. We're guilty. We're condemned in the sight of God tonight. God's law demands that all must die because of sin. But God so loves us. And what great love that is. And we're thinking about it these last Lord's Day mornings. How marvelous it is, God's love. That through the death of His Son, who took our place on the cross, all the righteous demands of the law against the sinner have been fully met. All the claims of God's holiness have been satisfied through the death of Christ, the shedding of His precious blood. And thank God tonight for the blood, the ground for our justification. We are justified by faith, the condition of our justification, the one condition of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many times is that emphasized throughout Scripture? It's emphasized in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 28. If you read those verses, you will discover how it is emphasized. By faith, verse 22, faith of Jesus Christ. Again, verse 25 of Romans 3, through faith in His blood. Again, we have the Scriptures making emphasis upon faith, being justified by faith, Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 4, verse 5, again, Him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly. And so we have so many Scriptures that would indicate to us that we are justified by faith. The condition of our justification. Have you believed tonight to the saving of your soul? You say, I cannot believe. I don't have the faith. Yes, but God gives the gift of saving faith to men and to women and to young people to enable them to believe and to step out on the promise of God and to get under the blood. And then further, we are justified by resurrection, the guarantee of justification. Again, we've heard it in one of the messages in song tonight. The guarantee of justification. Romans 4, 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, listen, for our justification. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the visible proof that God was satisfied with His Son's finished work. That justification is available for all men. And that all believers are justified in the sight of God. We're justified by works. You may raise an eyebrow at that. Say, you're contradicting yourself, Mr. Smiley. That's the evidence of justification, you see. We compare Romans 3:20, which says, if you look at it there, Romans 3:20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then we go to James, chapter 2, the book of James, and the second chapter. And we go to verse 24 there. You see how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. I think the key words there are not by faith only. Not by faith only. There's no contradiction. You see, this is the evidence of our justification. Works is the evidence. We have to place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But we show our faith by our works. That's the evidence that we are truly saved. Again, see what James says in chapter 2, verse 20, but wilt thou, O vain man, say that faith without works is dead? Oh, my friend, faith without works is dead. Works are the evidence of faith. And wherever there is real faith, it will be followed by works. Yea, man say, James 2:18, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show me thee my faith by my works. The evidence. The evidence. Is there that evidence in your life? That you're truly justified by faith? That you're truly saved? And the evidence in your life, the works, will manifest the fact that you're saved. We're justified by experience, the results of justification. In other words, certain wonderful things take place as a result of our justification. The experience. And that brings us tonight not only to think about the meaning of justification and the means of justification, but that brings us to the miracle of justification, because we see in the miracle of justification these wonderful things that take place as a result of our justification. And we see them in the portion of Scripture here we've read earlier in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. First of all, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were enemies. Verse 10 tells us we were enemies. Romans 5:10. But in Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ reconciled us unto God, made peace. Bible says he had made peace for us through the blood of the cross. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is available to you tonight. And those of us who've experienced God's salvation have known that peace and experienced it. And the second thing is, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans 5 verse 2. This means that being justified, we have an entrance or a welcome into the very presence of God. He's the door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And those of us who are saved tonight, we have entered in. We have entered into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Access by faith. The third thing, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, verse 2 again. And the word hope does not imply uncertainty. It refers rather to the assurance which we have that God will consummate his purpose in and for all whom he justifies. Colossians 3, verse 4, third chapter of Colossians. And the verse 4, and it reads like this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a hope there is for the child of God. Have you this hope within your breast tonight? Are you rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God? And then furthermore, we glory or we rejoice in tribulations. Also Romans 5, 3 and 4 reasons are given in regard to this. Verses 4 and 5. Patience, experience, experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. This means, my friends, when trials and testings come, as come they will, we're able to say, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Acts 14:22, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We are appointed thereunto. God has so purposed for the child of God. We glory in these things. And then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5 and 5. And this is love in four dimensions. It's brought out there in Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. It talks about the breadth. And it talks about the length. And it talks about the depth and the height of God's love. With his love in our hearts, we love each other. You know, people say, I hate him. I hate him. Now, you may hate what somebody does, the sin that they're involved in, but you don't hate the person. In fact, we're to love each other, love our brethren in the Lord. And if we don't, we abide in death. That's what the Bible says. Very serious. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Ghost is given unto us. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 5. It says, by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The moment God justifies a person, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, the Lord said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God residing in the heart, abiding in the heart, indwelling the heart of the true child of God. Have you the witness of the Spirit within you tonight? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans 8, 9. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Listen, which is in you? Spirit of God and the child of God, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. But then there's something more. We joy in God. Verse 11 of Romans 5. Literally, we exult in God. How wonderful this is. We who were condemned, lost sinners, now by His grace, being justified, rejoice in Him. This is a miracle, friend. This is the miracle of God's salvation. This is the miracle of justification. What a miracle salvation really is. Have you experienced this miracle? Are you saved tonight? If you're not, this miracle can be wrought in your heart tonight. You can go from the service with Christ in your heart, with the knowledge that you're saved, that you're justified. Look at the contrast there in the parable we read in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee, we've mentioned, with all his attempting at merit and meriting favor with God, which was absolutely useless. The publican, on the other hand, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says he went down to his house justified. He was justified. He was saved. He just prayed a simple prayer. But it was a sincere prayer. And God saved him. And so God can save you tonight. Will you come and be justified? Paul speaks of those who were guilty of a variety of sins. And he mentions them all there in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. And then in verse 11 he says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, may tonight you know that you're justified. You know that you're saved. That you're truly a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can a man be just with God? I trust that through these thoughts tonight and Scriptures we've brought before you can understand clearly, simply, how you can truly be just with God. How you can truly be saved. And may you be saved tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thine own word to hearts tonight. And we pray that, Lord, thou wilt speak to those who are not saved and bring them to know thee. And for those of us who are, that thou would encourage us even by this great truth of justification and build us up in our holy faith. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to again another hymn which will be on the screen. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Make these words the prayer of your heart. The chorus especially, I'm coming, Lord. I trust you'll come tonight as you sing these words, as we keep our seats, as we sing together.
If you're troubled about your soul, we do invite you to wait as others leave. And we'd be happy to open God's word and point you to the Lord tonight if you're not saved or you're not sure or you're in a backslidden condition. I omitted to mention earlier the gifts that came in for our college, £515 last Lord's Day. And we thank you for the giving towards our Bible college and the work of training young men and women for service at home and abroad. May the Lord bless you in your giving. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll separate us now with thy blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.